Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Galatians, the 6th chapter. Galatians chapter 6, and in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1247. We'll be reading responsively the first 9 verses of the 6th chapter. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 9, page 1247. And let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And the text verse is the next verse, the 9th. Let's read that together. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And let's pray. Father, how good it is that we can be here today. Thou hast permitted us to live under such circumstances that allow us the freedom to be here and the health and the strength to be here. And we pray that Thou would certainly meet with us, make our hearts very tender, and bless with special strength and power our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
This morning I'm going to teach you one little statement of one little verse of one little book in the Bible. And then I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to give a testimony message. And I believe with all my heart that if you listen carefully, you'll receive one of the great secrets. No, not a secret. One of the great keys to life. It's a little warmer than usual in here this morning. I apologize to you, but it's on purpose. We always have our air conditioning unit turned on during the week, the coming week. We rarely ever need it this time of year. So the air conditioning will be turned on and be available by next Sunday. And this warm day sort of snuck up on us a little bit, and we weren't quite prepared for it, so that's why it's a little bit warmer than usual. So you'll have to listen on purpose this morning, and I hope that you will. Just sit up straight, look at me, and be very still and quiet, and let's see if we can get a special blessing from God this morning. We read a while ago, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season shall reap if we faint not. That verse is preceded by talking about a verse about sowing and reaping. And after it talks about the word about sowing and reaping, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let me give you just a little teaching, if you'll watch me carefully now. And then I'll pray, and then I'll bring a testimony message, speaking some things about the goodness of God as I have experienced it. The figure of speech here is a farmer in the field. He sows, he hoes, he plows, he's tired, and he's weary. He comes in the dusk of the evening. His back is drooped. His legs are weary. His arms are tired. And the writer says, sir, don't be weary. But he says, I'm already weary. No, but he says, that's not what I'm talking about. Don't be weary of being weary. That's what it says. The fellow's already weary. Good night. The fellow's been out plowing all day and following a donkey or a burra all day and comes in and somebody says, don't be weary. He says, I can't help it. I'm already weary. And then somebody says, okay, then don't be weary of being weary. That's what it says. That's really what it says in Galatians 6:9. Let us not be weary in being weary. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There's another passage I want to read for you, and you need not turn to it. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. I like that. The affliction of the afflicted. I want to speak this morning on the subject, when trouble becomes trouble. For I want to speak this morning on the subject, don't be troubled by troubles. I want to speak this morning on the subject, don't have the affliction of being afflicted. I want to speak this morning on, let us not be weary in being weary. I think it's worth hearing. Our Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that as I represent you here in this place, that you'd help me to be a fit representative. And I pray that you'd give me the ears and minds and hearts of this great crowd of people. Please, teach us the truth that'll help us continuing. In Jesus' name, amen. Please, as I said to you on my anniversary, 25th anniversary, all I want you to give me the rest of my ministry is your attention while I speak. And I plead with you for your attention this morning, not because I need attention, but because you need to hear what I'm going to say. Preacher, don't you ever get weary? Somebody asked me the other day. You just keep on going. Don't you ever get weary? I didn't answer them, but I think I'll answer this morning. Oh, yes, I do. Of course I do. I often get weary. I stay weary. And I've said before, when I get up in the morning, I don't get up, I get resurrected from the dead. I'm weary. I get weary, sure I do. I often ask myself, when I've poured out my soul somewhere across this nation, and I've literally given forth part of my life, and I stand after that's all over and sign Bibles for an hour, and then about 10:30 at night, they take me back to my room, and about 11 o'clock, I get inside the room, I often ask myself, I wonder how many more times I can give as much as I gave tonight. I wonder how many more times I can preach as hard as I preach tonight and bear the burden that I bore tonight for my country and the people. I just wonder. And sometimes I'm so weary I say to myself, I don't believe I can ever do it that hard again. Preacher, don't you ever get weary? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I do. I get weary counseling. Sometimes I'll stay in my office 6 consecutive hours. Try it sometime. And talk to 18 to 25 different people. And change your mind every few minutes to somebody else's problem. And lose yourself in every problem. Try to mend a life that's been broken. Try to salvage a life that's been ruined. And enter into their problem. This week for 1 hour and 40 minutes, I talked to one couple. 1 hour and 40 minutes. One couple. When they left, I felt absolutely like I could not take the next person. Because for an hour and 40 minutes, I'd live with their burden. I tried to sew it back together. And then here came another. And another. For 6 straight hours. Maybe a young person comes in after the hour and 40 minutes with one with a couple. And maybe I tried to direct the life of that young person. And maybe that young person's not concerned about the will of God for his life. And I for 6 hours, try it sometime. For 6 hours, enter into 15 or 20 different crises and try to mend them back together. And I sometime throw my coat over my shoulder and walk to the car late at night. And my mind hurts so much, I sometimes wonder if I can get enough sense to be coherent by morning. Preacher, don't you ever get weary? Of course I do. I get weary in business. The business of this church. The $15 million we have to raise, $40,000 every day of the year we have to raise. The weariness of the many multitudes of details concerning the church and the college and the high school and the grade school. I'm sure that I answer 2,000 questions a week. I'm sure I make 1,000 decisions every week of my life. Sure, I get weary. I get weary preaching. I get weary counseling. I get weary in business. I've asked the Lord, Lord, sometime before I die, let me have 1 year without a financial load to carry. Just give me 1 little year. If I just knew that one time, if I lived to be 85 and pastor of 85, if I just knew when I'm 84, God would give me 1 year where I wouldn't have to just absolutely wonder where the money's coming from. I mean, I get weary of trying to raise the money for poor kids to go to school. And you don't have any idea the financial responsibility. We don't keep a lot of money around here. Sure, I get weary, but I never get weary of being weary. Boy, this will help you. I never get weary of being weary. I go to bed after having poured my soul out somewhere. Other preachers have been playing golf on Monday, getting over the nervousness of having to preach on the peace of God. And I've been working all day, planning pastor school, working on the airplane, not working on the airplane, but working while on the airplane. And I get weary from preaching. But I come back that night and go to bed and I look out the window to the stars and I say, I believe God used me tonight. I believe the Creator of the universe used me tonight. Lord, help me to get weary again tomorrow night. I get weary, but I never get weary of getting weary. I drive home from church some night after having counseled 5 or 6 hours, as I mentioned a while ago. And yet, as I drive, I look out, and as I did last night, and I saw the moon. And I look up at the moon, and I say, I believe I helped him. I believe I did. When that couple left me last Thursday night, as I drove home Thursday night, I said to myself, I believe I helped them. I really do. Brother, I never get weary of getting weary. Be you not weary in well-doing. And in well-doing, you get weary. It's well-doing to plow a crop. It's well-doing to sow a crop. It's well-doing to work in the field. But the apostle said, I know you're weary. I know it. And don't blame you for being weary. But don't ever get weary of being weary. I often say, after I talked to a young person. I said it last Thursday night. One of the most precious young ladies we have in the church. She wanted to do something I felt like she shouldn't do. I don't mean something sinful. Unless not doing the will of God is sinful, and it is. I don't mean something we call sinful. Of course, we don't call sinful what God calls sinful. But I had an appointment, and I said to one of the loveliest young ladies in the church, and I said, this is what I think you ought to do, but I want to do that. And I said, okay, you pray about it. And I'll give you another appointment. So she came back this week. And we talked again. And she said, this is what I want to do. But I said, that's not the thing you're supposed to do. I'm sure of that. Don't go that way. And she walked out. She was not sparkling like when she came in. But with, a tear in her eye, I think she had decided to do what she should do. And I said Thursday night as I went home, I said, I believe she's going to make it. I believe she's going to make it. What the apostle is saying is this. Okay, you get weary, but don't be weary of being weary. Mother, you get weary of the duties of the household and keeping house. You get weary, and that's good, but don't get weary of getting weary. Don't say, I don't want to ever do it again. Stay happy that you get weary. I don't think I'll ever complain, I mean this, about being weary. I hope I don't. I don't think anybody here in this room has ever heard me complain about being weary. Because I'm never weary of weariness. I want to be weary. I want to pour out my soul. I want to counsel with those who need help. I want to guide the youth. I want to be a dad away from home to the college students. I want to be a preacher of the gospel. I want to do what I can to save this old nation from crumbling and decaying. I want to do it. And though I get weary, I never get weary of being weary. That's what Paul is saying. Now, if you must complain this morning, don't complain about being weary. You know, you go home at night and you say to your wife or you say to your husband, I'm just exhausted. Well, that's what the bed's for. Anybody's worth shooting's exhausted at bedtime. Supposed to be exhausted at bedtime. If you're not, you're not happy. I mean, nothing wrong with being weary. Of course I get weary. But bless God, don't get weary of being weary. Preacher, don't you ever have any troubles? Somebody asked me. Don't you ever have any troubles? Oh, yes, I do. Are you listening? Oh, yes, I do. Have troubles like you have. Have problems like you have problems. I'm flesh as you are. But I'm not troubled by my troubles. I'm not troubled by my troubles. My troubles trouble me, but having troubles does not trouble me. Oh, if I'm so tired of changing diapers, I just don't know what to do. This is not a testimony. Oh, I'm so sick and tired of wiping a little snotty nose, runny nose, I just don't know what to do.
I can take you out to our cemetery and show you some little babies whose mothers don't have to change their diapers anymore. I can take you out to the cemetery and show you the little graves of little infants that are buried there in our cemetery whose mothers never have to wipe a snotty nose again. Oh, let me tell you today, sure, I've got burdens, and sure, I get weary, and sure, I have troubles and problems, but thank God, I never let my having troubles trouble me, or never let my weariness, I never get weary of weariness. You see, folks, I love God. God knows it, and I know it. I really do. I'm not just kidding. I'm not just preaching. I love God today. And I, as best I know, I'm in His perfect will for my life. Now, that's all I can do.
I love him, and God knows I love him. And I, as far as I know, and God knows this is true, as far as I know, I'm standing right now in the place that God meant for me to stand at 11:43 this morning. I'm convinced of that. And my Bible says, if I love him and I'm in his will, all things work together for good for me. Not according to what I think is good, what he thinks is good. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, life is a vale of tears. And we get weary. But thank God for the joy of getting weary. Because you get weary in well-doing. And the Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatian people, and he said, I know you're weary. You trudge in at night from the lonely trail of working the field all day long, and you're tired, and you're weary. And you say, don't get weary. What do you mean, don't get weary? I'm already weary. Oh, God says, don't get weary of getting weary. Preacher, aren't you ever hurt? Aren't you ever hurt? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I hurt every time I'm criticized and I hear about it. You say, is that true? Yeah, oh, yeah, it's true. Yeah. Every time word comes back to me that somebody's criticized me, it hurts. Preacher, aren't you ever hurt? Oh, yes. Every time somebody says to me, he doesn't have love, I hurt. Preacher, aren't you ever hurt? Oh, yes. Every time somebody says he's just all he's interested in is getting people saved, dip him and drop him. He's just a shallow preacher, just interested in soul winning, soul winning, soul winning. Doesn't care about people after they get saved. When that accusation comes, I hurt.
Every time somebody turns on me, I hurt. But I want you to hear me carefully. I am never hurt. Listen to me. I'm never hurt. By hurts.
I'm never weary of being weary. I'm never troubled of having troubles. And I'm never hurt by being hurt. You say, what do you mean? I mean, I have no enemy in this world today whom I wouldn't buy a pair of shoes if his feet were cold, or I wouldn't buy a suit of clothes if he needed one, or put a roof over his head, or food in his stomach. I have nobody in this world who's ever hurt me that's
caused me to be hurt because I'm hurt. I have no enemy I wouldn't feed and clothe. And if you don't, listen, if you don't believe me, send him to me.
Or if you don't believe me, check my record. Sure I'm hurt. Sure I can feel pain in my heart. Sure I can feel disappointment when people are critical. Well, of course I can. I'm flesh. I'm human. But I will not live
with hurt feelings because I hurt. I won't do it. You say, why? How do you get that way? I'll tell you how I got that way. 1985 years ago, I took part in something. I put nails in the hands of him who never did wrong.
I had a part in putting a crown of thorns on the brow of an innocent man. I had a part in a party in nailing him to a cross and scourging his body. And I had a part in crucifying an innocent man. And while I was crucifying him, he looked at me and said, Father, forgive him. He knows not what he does.
Brother, if my God can forgive me like that when I've hurt him and God knows I've hurt him, bless God, I cannot fight back when somebody tries to hurt me. I wish I could teach you this truth. I've stood for 25 years and a half behind this pulpit and I've tried to teach you this truth and I feel like I've failed miserably. I really do. I wish I just wonder if you'd ever learn it. I stand here and I said, look, don't be offended. The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I said, nothing shall offend them. But you never seem to learn it. I long for you to learn it.
I long for you to get what I'm talking about.
Preacher, don't you get weary? Sure I do. But I never get weary of being weary. I don't want to ever retire. I don't want to ever stop being weary. For the last day I live, the last night I go to bed, I want to be weary because I poured out my soul somewhere.
And the last day I live, I want to be weary
because I've carried the burdens of others on my shoulders. I don't want to ever get weary of being weary.
Be you not weary in well-doing, farmer? You tired? Yes, don't get tired of being tired. You weary? Oh, yes, don't get weary of being weary. You hurt? Oh, yes. Don't be hurt because you're hurt. Have troubles? Oh, yes. Don't be troubled because you have troubles.
Preacher, aren't you ever afflicted? Yeah. I have some physical afflictions. 25 years. Now, I almost hate to say this. I'm afraid to say it. 25 years, I've had an affliction here. I don't know, but it seems to be getting better. I'm afraid to say it. But for several months now, it seems like it's been better.
But I know it doesn't matter. It gets better, doesn't get better. It gets worse, doesn't get worse.
Sure, I've got afflictions.
I have weaknesses of body like you have weaknesses of body. I have some physical afflictions, but I'm not afflicted by being afflicted.
I know people whose worst affliction is the affliction of being afflicted.
I mean, listen. Okay, so you got a weakness of body and you have an affliction. Okay, you have an affliction. That's okay. Most of us do. But don't get the affliction of being afflicted. Don't get the weariness of being weary, of the trouble of being troubled,
or the hurt of being hurt. It's an old story to you, but it's very precious to me. I was preached in Atlanta, Georgia on a Friday night. No, on a Tuesday night, I think it was. And I preached first that night so I could go to catch a plane. Atlanta's one of the few towns in America you can get a plane out of after you preach. I rushed to the airport, and a young man about 25 years of age, I think he was a college preacher boy in some school somewhere, he drove me. I rushed to the car. We drove lickety-split to the airport. And on the way to the airport, this young man looked over and he said, "Dr. Tiles, how long have you had that trouble of clearing your throat?" And I said, "Son, about 25 years ago it started." And he said, "Does it ever depress you? Or make you blue or discouraged?" And I squared in the seat and looked him in the eye and I said, "Son, young man, I'm an American. I live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. I salute Old Glory. I was born a free man. I was born to sing, 'My country, this of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing.' I was born to sing, 'God bless America. Oh, say, can you see for the dawn's early light?' I'm an American." But I said, "Young man, more than that, I'm a child of God. My name is written right now in the blood of Christ in the Lamb's book of life. If I died this moment, I'd go to heaven. My sins are forgiven. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free. In my heart's a song, buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I say eternally, bless God, my sins are gone." I said, "Young man, I'm redeemed with the blood of Christ. I'm a child of the King. The Bible's my book. Heaven's my home. Rapture's my hope. God's my Father. Jesus is my Savior. Holy Spirit is my Comforter.
I said, I'm a child of God, ready for heaven.
I said, someday I'll walk on golden streets that I do not deserve. I'll walk through gates of pearl I did not buy. I'll walk with the saints of God, and I do not deserve it. And I said, young man, if you think I'm going to get one little old something in my throat about the size of a black-eyed pea, ruin my life and get me depressed, you're just mistaken, that's all. Aren't you sick and tired of being sick and tired because you're sick and tired? Your malady is not your malady. Your malady is the way you accept your malady. The Apostle Paul comes to the people of God and he says, don't be weary of being weary because you're doing well. Weary housewife, be weary. But don't remind everybody how weary you are. Because there's nobody that's not weary when you're weary. Do you ever get a bunch of ladies that are talking about 7 o'clock at night? How in the world all of them can be listening while all of them are talking? It beats me. I don't understand it. But every lady in this house understands what I'm talking about. They can do it. Now, with men, you've got to have one talking, one listening. But listen, it's an art. I'm not criticizing you gals. I envy you. Because I wish I could. But I mean, you can get 10 women, all of them talking, and all of them listening, and all of them listening to the other 9. One says, I am so tired. And the other doesn't say, well, God bless you. She says, oh, I'm exhausted. And the other one doesn't say that too. Oh, bless your heart. Says, I'm pooped. One says, I'm fatigued. Now, that's okay. But don't get tired of being tired. One of the greatest joys of life is being weary. One of the greatest joys of life is not being afflicted by being afflicted. And one of the greatest joys of life, listen, I've been forgiven before. I was in a certain city in this country. I was preaching in a morning service. Probably 700-800 high schoolers were there, or school children were there. Most of them, many of them high schoolers, most of them sixth grade and up. Sitting over here on the second or third row in the front was a little high school gal, and she slumped down in her seat like that. And I said, young lady, I said, sit up while I preach. She shook her head like that. And I said, young lady, I told you, now sit up. And she shook her head like that. And I said, shut up when I say sit up. About that time, a lady stood up back here. I thought it was her teacher, but I found it was her mother. She walked down here, and she walked into the girl, and I said, now, teacher, I'll take care of you. Go back to your seat. But that lady didn't obey me. She took the girl, took her out of the aisle. When the girl got to the aisle, I realized I'd made a horrible mistake. That little girl was hunchbacked. Couldn't sit up. I was about to preach. And everybody in that room saw that little hunchback girl walk out and her mother taking her. Oh, my soul. I did it. I tried to preach, but I didn't do very well. I didn't mention the problem. When I finished preaching, I said, folks, before you leave, I've got to say something to you. Everybody here knew the mistake I made this morning. You saw it. And you know. And I just want to tell you I'm sorry. And I assure you that I'll be leaving as soon as the closing prayer is prayed. And I'll be going to see that lady and asking her forgiveness. As soon as the service ended, I said, Pastor, drive me to the lady's house. I drove to her house. I said, Pastor, would you stay out here? I want to go in alone. I walked up, rang the doorbell. She came to the door. And I said, listen, before you slam the door, give me a chance to say 2 words. I'm sorry. I'm not a mean man. I just wanted the young lady to hear. I didn't know she was afflicted. And I'm sorry. And that precious lady said, Dr. Howells, I was mad at you when it happened. But she said, I've got a boy in your college. A son in your college. She said, my goal has always been that he'd grow up and be like you someday. And she said, "You made a mistake this morning, and I know it, but I still want my boy to grow up and be like you." And I said, "Would you forgive me?" She said, "Yes." And I said, "Would you let me pay for you and your husband and your daughter to have a trip to see your son some weekend? I'll buy the plane ticket for all of you." "Oh, no." I said, "Look, I've got to do it. Give me a chance to do something to make amends." And thank God she did. I was so pleased until the bill came. And she and her husband came one weekend, and the little daughter sat up here in the balcony. "Oh, it's a wonderful thing to be forgiven. It's a wonderful thing. But I can tell you something more wonderful than that. More wonderful than the sweet peace I had when that little lady forgave me and God forgave me. And that's the peace when somebody..." By the way, the joy she had that afternoon was greater than the joy I had. Did you ever think that being forgiven is not Christ-like? Jesus was never forgiven because he never sinned. So just because you're forgiven doesn't make you Christ-like. You're Christ-like when you forgive. And I say this morning in closing to my people, the worst weariness is not being weary. It's being weary of being weary. And the worst trouble is not the trouble. It's the fact that you're troubled because of your troubles. And the worst hurt is not hurting. It's being hurt at those who've hurt you. And the worst affliction is not affliction. It's the affliction of being afflicted. Think about it. It'll change your life if you'll let it. Our Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that from this one little verse, one little line, "Be ye not weary in well-doing," spoken to a weary farmer, spoken to a man whose shoulders were tired and body was weary and legs could hardly drive him home. The apostle stops and says, "Hey, fella, don't be weary." Fella said, "I'm already weary. I'm so tired I can't hardly walk." Paul said, "Okay, but don't be weary of being weary." Speak to our hearts this morning.